sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I found, was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Anybody else? Patrick's going to give me a hand here because I might not know all the songs. What? Four?
474.
474. 1 and 2. 474. I've got 473.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, let me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
You have the new hymn that we're going to be singing as a closing hymn today. I recently found this song and I love it, and it goes well with the theme of the message today. And I'd like you to learn, and then you might even like it too. So let's try it. I belong to the King. We're going to sing all three verses so that we can learn. I mean, some of you may even recognize the song, right?
I belong to the King. I'm a child of His love. I shall dwell in His so fair, for He tells of His bliss in the heaven above, and His children in splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and He never forsakes His son. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glory throne. I belong to the King, and He loves me, I know, for His mercy and kindness so free. I unsing mine, wherever so I go, and my refuge unfailing is He. I belong to the King, I'm a child of His love, and he never forsaketh his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne. I belong to the King, and his promise is sure that we all shall be gathered at last. In his kingdom above, by life waters so pure, when this life with its trials is past. I belong to the King, I'm a child of his love, and he never forsakes his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne.
Sounds like some of you already know this one.
Okay. Thank you. I guess that's all for today.
Thank you, Colleen. That's my favorite hymn. We did. Good morning and welcome, everyone, to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. It's good to see everyone here this morning on this rainy day. I'll start off with a few announcements. There we go. And we have some birthdays this month, as you'll see on the screen. Mike Pastelli, Harold Hudson, Bill Klein, Lorraine Munoz, Ann Mickel, Gary Barlow, and Audrey Parra. Happy birthday to you all. Next, the Whiteboard Bible Study, Volume 2, continues today at 11 to 11:45 this morning in the Camellia Room. So please join us if you can. And then next, the Hearts Grow program will continue next Sunday. Children can come before the sermon and stay until the end of fellowship time, and parents, of course, are welcome. So if you know some kids or parents that would like to come, please invite them. And again, that'll continue again next week. And we have an urgent need for blood here in the Inland Empire. There's a flyer outside of the narthex that shows where you can find out information on that. But I understand that there's a blood drive this Wednesday at the Tractor Supply store there in Kalamasa. I believe it starts at 10 a.m. So if you can, come by there and donate blood. Are there any other announcements? No, I guess not. So please rise as you can and join me in the call to worship. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
And our opening hymn is number 733, Marching to Zion.
Join in a song with sweet accord, with us around the throne, and us around the throne. We are marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching up for to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We are marching to Zion, the beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion Hill, 1,000 sacred sweet. Before we reach the heavenly field, before we reach the heavenly field, we'll walk the golden street, we'll walk the golden street. We are marching to Zion, the beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching up to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
It's now time to pass the peace, so wave and say good morning and bless you to your neighbors.
We want to welcome June and Joyce, Bill and April, Debbie, Alicia, and David, Mary, and who else is there? We have a couple of folks on the telephone as well. Welcome all of you.
It is now time for the sharing of our joys and concerns. If you have anything to share, please raise your hand and Deb will bring you the mic.
I just want to ask for prayers for my sister. She took a very hard fall this week. Hopefully everything will be okay. Prayers for her.
So she was in the ICU for several days and now back, but she's home, back home, yes, and she's still recovering and feels very weak, so we want to continue our prayers.
I have some concerns for Lorene. On last Monday, she usually carries a big tote bag with her for a purse, and I can never find anything in it. But anyway, she changed it out because we were getting ready to go on a trip, and she had a regular purse, and it had different kinds of straps on it. And on Monday, we drove over to Cala Mesa, and she went to get out of the car, and unbeknownst to her, her foot had got tangled in the strap. When she went to get out of the car, she fell flat on the ground. Her hip is all bruised up. She's very sore, but she's a real trooper. Just keep her in her prayers.
I have a friend from 30 years ago in Ohio who has a daughter who's about my daughter's age. Evidently, back in November, she got influenza A. And this girl's name is Allie Tucker. She almost died, but they saved her life. I guess some people have complications. But she is having multiple amputations of fingers, toes, a foot. I don't know what all. And my heart just aches for her. So let's pray for Allie Tucker and her family. Mm. Thank you.
Dina and Dale are back from Alaska.
Welcome home.
Yes, welcome home. Well, I mean, they have another home up there.
But this is their real home. We're keeping them.
Is this a better place for you?
Depends on the season.
Yeah.
I wanted to say, too, that our dog Beastie survived his neutering and other surgery. And we're just trying to keep him from eating his stitches because he already ate his neck thing. So hopefully he can stay off them and heal and everything will be good.
You know, I have a lot of joys in general, but they're remote joys because my family is in Minnesota, Texas, South Carolina, Missouri, etc. I'm the only one left in California. I have a niece and her husband. They're missionaries in the foothills of northern India.
Oh, wow.
They both attended Moody Bible Institute and met there. He was the son of a missionary family, and they've been there about 8 years. And this isn't their first child, but singing the song, "We're Marching to Zion," this little girl's name is Zion.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I had to get up and say that. And that's a joy for them, and it's a joy for our whole family. This niece is my brother's daughter, my favorite brother. You shouldn't have a favorite brother, but I do. His name is Mark Moline. But anyway, that's his daughter, and this isn't their first child. They got a full basketball team of girls now. That was the fifth girl.
Whoa.
They have one boy. The first boy was the oldest, Moses.
They're doing it right.
Maybe eventually they'll cover all the big names of the Bible.
And I'm not to embarrass you or anything, but I want to welcome Vladimir. He's Alicia and Destiny's friend that's here.
Very and nice. Welcome.
Just welcome Vladimir.
I've been asking for prayers for my friend Lance Alfred, and he had a brain scan last Sunday. In conjunction with the lung cancer, kidney, all that kind of stuff. And the good news was there was no cancer in his brain. And so he will be starting on a chemotherapy regimen starting on the 20th of January. So he needs continued prayers, but things are good. And they just had their son, who had moved on November 1st to Washington before they found all this out. And he came for a visit this last week. So they're all very happy about that. And things are positive.
To hear that.
Anyone else in the sanctuary? Anyone on Zoom? Raise your hand.
Please join me now in the unison prayer. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, except that of knowing that we do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Dear Lord Jesus, we sometimes arrive at different crossroads, different junctures of life, and we get to look back the journey that we have walked. And sometimes we feel like that we have done enough, we have worked enough, and we do not find any more motivation. And we pray, O Lord, that we will always find the grace that comes from your presence, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, so that we will always find strength. We will always remain motivated to continue on. Lord, we have tried our best to be faithful, to serve you, to serve your church, to serve the people that you have placed in our life. But often we are discouraged, feeling that even though we have given our best, our work is not good enough. May we know, O Lord, that you accept us as we are. You appreciate our service to you, our sacrifice to serve others. But even move beyond that stage so that we may continue to find strength, continue to have the desire to love you more, that we may give all our strength to serve you until the very end. So, Lord, we stand before you in need of the strength that comes from you, O Lord, because our strength is not good enough to engage in all the struggles of life. But with you and with your strength, we can. As you have sustained our life this far, by your grace, we rely upon you today as we look ahead this new year filled with uncertainties. And as you have done it over and over in our life, we know with the full trust in you that you will do it again. You will sustain our life and you will continue to fulfill your will in our life, in this church, in this nation, and in the world today. So as we stand before you this morning, we submit ourselves to your power, to your plan, and to your will in our life. So now we join our hearts in prayer, praying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
There's now time for our Young at Hearts moment.
Today's story is The Story of Jesus and His Disciples, written by Alice Joyce Davidson, designed by Victoria Marshall. A little girl named Alice likes to read her books a lot. A bench right by her window is her favorite reading spot. Whenever she's not busy and has an extra minute, she reads her Bible storybook and looks at pictures in it. One day she read of Jesus, how he looked until he found 12 friends he called disciples to help spread God's word around. As Alice read, the airmail bird flew to her windowsill and dropped this special message which he carried in his bill. Reading is the magic key to take you where you want to be. Her book became a great big screen. The screen grew tall and wide. Then Alice took a little walk to Bible land inside. She saw Jesus walking, and much to her surprise, the story she was reading came to life before her eyes. The time is right, thought Jesus, to go across the land and tell the people who I meet God's kingdom's close at hand. I want to teach and preach and help everyone I can, but I will need disciples to carry out this plan. That day as he was strolling by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers fishing, casting nets into the sea. Andrew was one brother's name, Peter was the other. They both seemed good and honest and worked well with one another. Jesus felt that he could trust brothers like these two, so he called out to both of them across the sea of blue, "Come with me, you'll never have to fish for fish again. Follow me and you will become my fishermen of men." The brothers were quite puzzled, then each man on his own looked up at Jesus and saw that love and goodness shone. They came to shore to join him and follow Jesus' way, and they met two other brothers later on that day. James and John were mending nets. Their boat was on the shore. Jesus said, "Here's two more men, the kind I'm looking for. Come with me. You'll never have to fish for fish again. Follow me, and you will be my fishermen of men." James and John looked at his face and saw such goodness there, they decided that they'd go with him and follow everywhere. Jesus told his four new friends the news he wanted to spread, the good news that God's kingdom is coming just ahead. The four agreed, "We'll follow you and be there when you preach, and if you will instruct us, we will help you teach." Jesus was very happy with the four new friends he found, but he needed 12 disciples to help spread the word around. So he made friends with Philip and with Bartholomew, and a tax collector, Matthew, joined the others too. They met a man named Thomas, then found Thaddeus one day. Both of them loved Jesus, so they followed in his way. Then came a man whose name was James, and faithful Simon too. Judas joined the others, and all said, "We'll follow you." Now Jesus had 12 special friends, and every one of them shared his news, and they became fishermen of men. Everywhere they preached God's word, great crowds would follow too, and every time that Jesus spoke, the crowds just grew and grew. Jesus spoke in simple language that all could understand, and his 12 friends helped spread his news all across the land. The time had come for Alice to leave that Bible scene. She thought of Jesus and his disciples as she walked through her screen. How good it must have been to be with Jesus every day, to be his friend and spread his word and follow in his way. I'm glad that Jesus is my friend. He's with me everywhere. Then Alice put her book away and knelt and said this prayer. Dear Jesus, you're my closest friend. You teach me and you guide me. It feels so good each day to know that you are here beside me. Thank you for your loving words, your kind, forgiving ways. I will be your disciple and follow you all my days. The end. May we all be servants of Jesus all of our days. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. Our next hymn is number 396, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side. No wonder from the pathway, if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 1 through 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you all here in this beautiful sanctuary, and also wonderful. It's wonderful to have you join our worship via Zoom. It's raining out there, and we need the rain desperately, and looks like we are getting plenty this year. Thanks be to God. But we want to remember some of the places that were flooded and many lives been lost here in California, so we want to remember them in our prayers as well. We will eventually, we don't wear a mask in the sanctuary, and soon I think we're going to open up, like, you know, when the spring comes, because I wanted to see how our winter goes, but even though there has been a bit of an increase of the COVID cases, I think we are doing just fine. And when the winter is over and going to the spring season, we will be even safer. So we will open up more in our worshiping here and greeting. And want to encourage you to continue to come to the fellowship hall. Our fellowship is being improved. I have added more creamers, more menus on the decaf coffee. So come and join the fellowship afterwards. Actor Kevin Bacon recounted when his six-year-old son saw Footloose for the first time. I haven't seen the movie, but I guess there was one made by him. He said, "Hey, Dad, you know that thing in the movie where you swing from the rafters of that building? That's really cool. How do you do that?" I said, "Well, I didn't do that part. It was a stuntman." "What's a stuntman?" he asked. "That's someone who dresses like me and does things I can do." "Oh," he replied, and walked out of the room, looking a little confused. A little later, he said, "Hey, Dad, do you know that thing in the movie where you spin around on that gym bar and land on your feet? How did you do that?" I said, "Well, I didn't do that. It was a gymnastics double." "What's a gymnastics double?" he asked. "That's a guy who dresses in my clothes and does things I can't do." There was a silence from my son. Then he asked, in a concerned voice, "Dad, what did you do?" "I got all the glory," I sheepishly replied. Have you been in a situation like that? Someone does your job, but you get all the credit and compliments because of your privileged position. I have been in many situations like that. God does all the work. I just do little. But people give me recognition from the thing that God does, for the things that God does. You know, a lot of times, you know, like, "Wow, Phillips." It's like, mm-hmm. I don't say, but it's what God is doing in my life. We look at Jesus' teaching from verses 7 through 10 this morning. This is not just like, you know, this is a very short teaching, and I just noticed that the title of that passage was like some teachings of Jesus. there are like three different teachings in there. And this part of the teaching is very short and people don't normally pay attention to it, but it's not some teachings of Jesus. To me, is a very, very important teaching of Jesus, and we want to study it together. We may think that the way the master in Jesus' teaching treat his servant isn't fair. The presupposition of unfairness does not place the teaching in the proper perspective. Regardless, it has many precious lessons and insights into how God operates, the purpose of living, and an appropriate attitude of us, his servant, to serve God and do ministry. We'll learn shortly that the master is not unfair, and what attitude we should have to serve God. Firstly, unfairness. To an average reader, just like us, the unfairness of how the master treats his servant is definitely noticeable, which appeals to us to make a case to advocate for the servant. The story goes, a servant walks all day under the blistering sun. He is sweaty, thirsty, hungry, and tired. His hand, his feet, his face, and his clothes are all covered with dirt. He needs some breather back at home. He wants to clean up, change his clothes, eat dinner, and rest a little before he goes to bed. Another busy day is waiting for him. But his master tells him to prepare dinner and serve him. He waits while his master enjoys the meal he prepared, and only after his master is satisfied can he sit down and eat. For this faithful servant, the master appeared to be heartless and unappreciative. Fairness for the servant seems missing. In today's term, the master can be accused of violating labor law. Anyone with common sense can agree with how unfairly the servant is treated. Now, this case could become even worse. In more than several parables, Jesus indicated a master is God or Jesus himself, and a servant means his follower. Does this short teaching entail that Jesus treats us without compassion, as the master treated his hardworking servant? The answer, of course, is no. Jesus is the epitome of humility. He left the glory high above and clothed in the flesh to be like us, so that he would suffer our shame and pay the price of our sins. He washed the feet of his disciples and set an example for servanthood. After his resurrection, he was the one who prepared breakfast for his disciples. In Luke 12, Jesus taught watchfulness for his second advent with an illustration of a master returning from a wedding banquet. Jesus said, "The master will return and dress himself to serve. Will have his servant recline at the table and will come and wait on them." As the master, Jesus served his followers, and Jesus will serve his servant at his return. We call the kind of Jesus servanthood servant leadership. He is our master and savior, but he became a servant for us. Jesus taught and lived a life of humility as a suffering servant. Therefore, the lack of fairness in the master is not a point of Jesus' teaching, then what did Jesus want to teach here? For an answer, let's look at the hard work of the servant again. The readers may miss one very distinct point. Jesus' teaching does acknowledge the servant's hard work out in the field all day and his unfinished task when he returned home. I want to apply the concept of being burnt out to go deeper into the story. After having labored all day, the servant would have felt burned out. He had labored enough and may not have wanted to walk more when he came home. It is very intriguing to note that Jesus' teaching spells out the timing of burned out, which was all the evening. With a lot of energy in the morning, we don't feel burned out. But usually in the evening or toward the end of the day when our energy is drained out. Likewise, at the beginning of a project or a plan, we are in high spirits, filled with enthusiasm. But as the project drags on, we lose motivation and vision and want to quit it. The early evening is when we suffer from these typical symptoms of burnout. When we go into the twilight zone of our labor. It could happen toward the end or anywhere in the middle of our endeavor. It could happen at transitions or crossroads, such as retirement, graduation, paying up loan, raising kid, and other achievement. We exert all our resources to reach goals, but from some point on, we begin to feel weary. We do not want to go through all the sweat and tears anymore. Frustration, anger, and sadness take over our emotions. We are excessively stressed out because our labor is not over yet. Remember in the story, the servant came back from all day work and he still had to prepare dinner for his master. Now, speaking of dinner, Becky and I enjoyed having all three kids over Christmas after not having had them together for several years. Apparently, our kids miss Becky's dishes very much. They do not want to go out, for they always do that where they live. While they're at home, they want to dine at Becky's restaurant. So she was very busy cooking and feeding them, and I was busy being a busboy. She thought she could retire from cooking, but it seems that she needs to run her no-profit restaurant for a lot longer than she once thought. Many of you who have been retired for some time have learned the truth that retirement does not mean the end of labor. Labor continues beyond retirement. We have worked all our lives and want to rest, but more work is waiting for us. There is no retirement in taking care of our children, for sure. Look at the master from this perspective as well. He was not harsh on his servant. Instead, he revealed the fact of life to his servant. There is no end in labor. Working endlessly, however, does not mean we must go through burned out cycles. The way that Jesus concluded his teaching shows that being burned out is avoidable, is not unavoidable, it is avoidable. Note what Jesus said. When you have done everything you are told to do, you should say, "We are unworthy servant. We have only done our duty." What kind of servant can answer like that to his master? Who can work nonstop as the servant did? He or she who remains motivated to serve his or her master can. Do you remember the days when you were so enthusiastic about something? You worked hard and still did not get burnout? You were like an energizer and just kept going? What was your secret? You were so motivated then. So staying motivated is more important than looking at the, you know, side of that being burned out. Staying motivated is a vital key to servanthood. How do we stay motivated? By changing our attitude toward serving. Our attitude tend to focus on the cost of discipleship and not on the honor of serving our master. Lord, see the dear price that I have paid. I plowed your land, looked after your sheep all day. I worked diligently and sacrificed to serve your people and your church all my life. You gave me many crosses, and I carry them all faithfully. Well, you and I have not done anything wrong with our services for our master. But think about the attitude toward serving. Yes, we have endured hardship to serve our master. But you know, the honor of serving our master is so much greater than the cost of serving him. Feeling like paying too much price to serve God? Then that's the point we need to examine if we have lost our motivation or if we are burned out or we may be close to being burned out if we question about paying too much price to serve God. I used to count the cost of serving God when I was spiritually burned out, and it goes together, you know. I just look at the you know, my ministry and all the things that I'm going through, and I frequently get burned out. And I shared with you before, like, you know, I tried to run as far as I could when I received the calling because I did not want to go through all the stuffs during in my ministry, and even after I got into ministry, I tried to quit several different times because I was looking at the cost of following him. My eyes were shut, and I did not realize how unworthy I was and what an honor it was to serve God. We all reach this twilight zone of life and feel burned out. In order to avoid this stage, we can avoid this stage. We need to stay motivated by remembering that God, with his grace, has called us even though we are unworthy of his service. Mark Black, in his book, Luke, said, "Even the best of God's servants are still unworthy because they have only done their duty and no more." Arland Hultgren, in the parable of Jesus said, nobody, no matter how virtuous or hardworking, can ever put God in his or her debt. We are familiar with the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," written by Isaac Watts. The first verse goes like this: "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Even if we own the whole world and give everything, including our life, to God, our dedication can never match the amazing love of God for us. No matter how excellent our service is, we can never pay back our Master's sacrifice in Calvary. Our privilege and honor of the service are far greater than the price we pay to follow our Master. Amen.
It's now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings. And we have special music with Edna and Austin.
Let him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let him have the things that hold you, and his spirit, like a dove, will descend upon your life and make you whole. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your lamps. Jesus, oh Jesus, come. Your lambs. Oh, come and sing this song with gladness, as your hearts are filled with joy. Lift your hands in sweet surrender to his name. Oh, give him all your tears and sadness, give him all your years of pain, and you'll enter into life in Jesus' name. Jesus, oh Jesus, come and fill your land. Jesus, come and fill your lambs. Come and fill your lambs.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Dear Lord Jesus, we give you this offering as we acknowledge that you have sustained our lives so faithfully unto this day. You have filled our life with your presence and with your blessings, so that we may use the blessings to bless you, your ministry, and your people. So, Lord, we give you this offering of thanksgiving unto you and ask you to bless it, that it may be to be used to extend your kingdom in the world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn can be found in your insert. It says, I Belong to the King.
I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love. I shall dwell in his palace of earth. For he tells of his bliss in new heaven above, and his children in splendor shall share. I belong to the King, I'm a child of his love, and he never forsakes his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne. I belong to the King, and he loves me, I know. For his mercy and kindness are free. Zion seen is he mine, wheresoever I go, and my refuge unfailing is he. I belong to the King, I'm a child of his love, and he never forsakes his own. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne. I belong to the King, and his promise is sure, that we all shall be gathered at last in his kingdom above. Trials is past. I belong to the King. I'm a child of his love, and he never forsakes his soul. He will call me someday to his palace above. I shall dwell by his glorified throne. Let us pray. Lord, how privileged we have been to have believed in you, to be used by you. May we go from this place of worship and continue to engage in serving you and your people with this awesome feeling of honor, and not count the cost of serving you. We are so grateful, O Lord, for the calling that you have given unto us, that we all have received from you. May we cherish this calling and our services for you and others, and continue to glorify you whatever we do. So bless us all as we recommit ourselves to serve you and love your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Go now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you in our every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Know He will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God will be there, watching from above. Go now in peace, in faith, and in love.